Thank you for coming to the website. This is Pastor John, and I'm glad that you can join me for the Tuesday webcast. The 19th of January, 2010, here in Los Angeles, California, another rainy day on this rainy Tuesday. Boy, I had a very interesting day. Had an electrician come by to take care of some business, only to find out that, let me check my volume here a second, there we go, only to find out that they had to stop doing the work because they were caught in a rainstorm. So some of my house has power. Other part of it doesn't, but the Lucy Coleman studio is red hot and burning, and so I'm able to do a webcast today. We started off last time, and we started off with a Bible study called The Fruits of Righteousness, right? Taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. The fruits of justification, righteousness declared, that's what it was, are the blessings of our being justified. How we can obtain security in Christ Jesus is what we spoke about. We said that there are certain questions to be asked concerning justification. We said, what kind of peace is it that people seek for? And are we to expect that same kind of peace? And also, can we really know the peace that I am seeking will eternally satisfy me? Give me satisfaction every day of my life. I think that's what we have to, as Christians, come to know. We have to come to realize this. If I can get even the people that are very close to me, that love me, to understand this, what brings you peace today? Well, we spent a lot of time and analyzed verse 1 of Romans chapter 5. Now what we're going to do is we're going to analyze verse 2. The meaning of our position defined as validated in verse 2. What does it mean to be justified? I think Paul writes about that well, and he talks about it beautifully here when he says, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Very interesting that I can read these verses, especially when I spent about 35, 45 minutes looking at on the computer news from CNN on the earthquake in Haiti. All of the people singing and giving money, millions of dollars, and to bring immediate aid down there to help those folk. But the inevitable greater question is, what can help them after this fact? What's going to happen after the fact? After, oh, the bodies are scraped away and the smell is gone, the stench of death, and the sorrow and the pain of losing loved ones, all of these things, which so encompass us here. Here we are living in the year 2010, and it appears that the same things that's been getting people down on this great round planet Earth is still getting us down. And the shabby, inconsistent lives that we live, meaning that we have absolutely no power at all to affect anything that is going on. We seem to be a helpless group of individuals. And that's why I do webcasts, because in all of that helplessness, I think that God has provided a way for us to be sustained. Now, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for the opportunity to do another webcast to help my brothers and sisters, that we may come to know the reality of what it means to be a Christian today when our lives are fogged up by indifference and things that have no meaning at all. We pray that you will help us, guide us, and strengthen us in our understanding of the Word of God and how it applies to us today. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the meaning of our position defined is validated in verse 2. Verse starts off in verse 2a saying, through whom? All right, Christ is always the believer's medium from which the power flows. I like that. Through whom? In other words, everything that we have comes from him. It doesn't come from our economic status. It doesn't come from us being favored as American citizens. It is all through our Christ Savior. That's the medium. If it comes from another source, there will be questions and answers. That's why when you look at the Haitian recovery, if you will, that's coming from people. Some of these people know God, some people don't. But it's a wonderful thing to give helpful resources to people that are in need of it. I want to say this right now, too, because each of us in our own particular way seem to be dealing with the crises. And let me deal with the issue that, you know, since we're talking about the meaning of our position defined as validated in verse 2, if it says that our justification is validated in Christ, basically that says that if the Bible is not conclusive or authoritative on this issue, we're going to have questions and many answers are going to go unanswered. Also, we see something in verse 2b, for it says, through whom, it says, also we have obtained our introduction by faith. Also we have. Let's break these words down. This is a demonstration that Christ has already done something for us. And through his mediation, what? We have had all along, and thus now have, and will continue to have, justification in him. See, this is talking about the past, the present, and the future justification. There is never a time when we will not be justified in Christ. You must realize this if you're Christians. You know, it doesn't matter. You know, I when I look at the ruins in Haiti, I can't help but to think about Los Angeles, where I live. If a massive 7.0 hit this city, I can only imagine how the homes would look across the street from me. And trust me, the person that lived here long before I did, when I first moved in this part of town, asked me, he says, John, did you know that our houses are right on the Inglewood Fault? And if you just get on a computer and research that and see where I live, I'm right on the Inglewood Fault. That means that this is earthquake prone. And so having experienced a few earthquakes in my life in this city and knowing how the shake rattles and rolls, it is not a very good feeling. That's why you heard on some of the sound clips here, the people in Haiti screaming. Because there's absolutely no control, especially when the walls begin to crumble and fall around about you. All you're looking for is a way out. Oh, my God, have mercy on our souls, I'm telling you. And, you know, it's rained a couple of days here in Los Angeles, and the weather's kind of strange for us. And, you know, this is earthquake weather here. But I pray that God will have mercy. So Christ has demonstrated his love. That's his mediation. We have had all along and thus now have and will continue to have. See, now this promise to the saints overwhelms any other obstacles which disables us. In other words, since Christ has provided this salvation for us, well, every other thing that happens in our lives seems and could be mediocrity. Now, you may say, well, I don't know where you get that from. Well, you don't know the power or the impact of what Christ means in the life. And this is not just an intellectual ascent of the mind that I'm talking about. I am talking about actually being a privileged individual, having the power of God through the Spirit of Christ Jesus living in you. This is a wonderful thing to have. And all believers realize what they have. It's a divine promise that God has given us. And in the perfect present tense in the language expresses the completeness of the act. In other words, it has been taken care of, it's being taken care of now, and it shall be taken care of in the future. The completeness of the act. That's what we pick up in the Greek once we read verse 2, through whom you have obtained our introduction by faith. In other words, it's done, it's being done, and it shall be done in you. The completeness of the act. Now, also you have to look at this verse because it says, obtained our introduction in verse 2c. I want you to note this term is used only three times in the New Testament. It's used, of course, here in this verse. Let me take it to some other verses and so that you can check this out. It's also used in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18, which should be a very familiar verse to those of you that know your Bibles. Ephesians chapter 2, 18 says, and through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Okay, you see this having access right there. Through him. He's the conduit. In other words, this term here, okay, we're all having it through him. This introduction through him. We have access in one spirit to the Father. Go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. Read that. It says, in whom we have, there it is again, boldness and confident access through faith in him. These are repeated practices. This is what we have. We have all of these wonderful promises, glorious guarantees that our life is spiritually intact. So this introduction is spoken of also in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38 and 40. Why don't you go there with me? It's in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 32. Right? And verse 38. Listen to what it says. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city shall be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hanel to the corner gate. I'm hoping that I have that. Jeremiah 32, 38. I'm sorry. That wasn't 30. That was 31, 38. 32, 38. I should pay better attention. Here it is. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. You see the idea? This obtained introduction. This introduction is spoken of in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38, as well as in verse 40. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good, and I will put the fear of me in their hearts, so that they will not turn away from me. Boy, I love this. I will put the fear. God is saying, I will put the fear of me in them, and they won't turn away from me. That's a wonderful thing. This introduction is spoken of here in Jeremiah, and we see something here. We know that our faith in Christ is the sustainer of this relationship. That's basically what this is saying. See, just as God chose in the old dispensation a people of his own reckoning, a people of his own heart, thus, when the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us, we are sustained. We know that our faith in Christ is the sustainer of that relationship. Also, there is no deed nor action that we could perform that might remove us from this very unique mediation that has taken place in our lives. The glorious portal that has swung open the entrance through which we have passed into this grace is there for us to obtain and to have. These are promises that are worth living for Christ for. And you know what? I just want to remain focused, centrally focused on that, because there is so much going on today that if for once we take our focus off of this, we will find ourselves drifting. And I don't like drifting. I don't know about you, but I don't like drifting. When I drift, I know that something is amiss. Has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with the old ship of Zion. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Now look what it says. And this is wonderful as you look at these words here. The glorious portal has swung the gates open by faith unto grace in which we stand. Verse 2D. For look what it says. We've obtained our introduction by faith unto this grace in which we stand. One writer, John MacArthur Jr., says that he carries the idea of permanence here, of standing firm and immovable. I like the way John puts it, standing firm and immovable. In other words, I'm not going to be moved. Just like a tree planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Oh, I used to love singing that song. I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. Then the other verse, Church of God is standing, we shall not be moved. We used to make up verses as we went through that. We were singing that for about 5 or 6 minutes. Sing it till the glory of the Lord came down. That's what our salvation is all about. My friends, we are standing firm and immovable. Not that we will not fall into sin, because we will. Some of us will fall harder than others. But to the effect that it renders grace of no effect, no. We're going to miss the mark. We're going to fail God, but it's not going to render God not being God anymore. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. Doesn't mean that you've been perfected, that you're on your way to heaven. No, it doesn't. We were standing without. Now we are standing within. That's all that means. There was a time when we were outside of the grace of God, outside of the safety net, which provides an eternal rest for our soul's sake. Now we are standing on the inside. We stand within. Martin Lloyd-Jones put it this way. We have entered into a position of grace. We have had our introduction to God, and we now stand before him in an entirely new manner. See, and if you know that, you and I also would have a completely different type of vantage point to do our lives by. I like the way that Martin Lloyd-Jones put it. This is not to say that there comes a time when the Bible might utter its own righteous conduct as a standard. Satan is about to take out such persons that boast in themselves. See, don't even try to boast and say, well, God got me covered up and I would never slip or fall in this way. Oh, trust me. Because the moment that you think that you're safe and fairly well is when you will find out that you have lost it altogether. Arthur Pink, the great theologian, put it this way. It is utterly and absolutely impossible that the sentence of the divine judge should ever be revoked or reversed. I like what Pink says. He's not revolting. He's not invoking a seizure upon your salvation where he's going to take it away one day. No, my friends, you are justified for life. And I'm trusting to Christ that we think about that justification as we live every day of our lives for Christ. So therefore, we are challenged to live out our Christianity on a moment-by-moment basis. Moment by moment, because you don't know what's happening. When you think about the Haitian earthquake, moment by moment. There were Christians down there. Undoubtedly, Christians died. Some got crushed, lost limbs, severely injured, suffering right now. God is still there. Now look at the latter part of verse 2. We are challenged to live out our Christianity by moment by moment, moment basis. And the end verses 2e of Romans chapter 5, verse 2e says, we exalt in hope of the glory of God. We exalt in the hope of the glory of God. In other words, as we look at all that has been done on our behalf, rejoicing occurs. Not today. We don't feel like we have enough. We feel like we need more. We're not ready to rejoice today about anything. Here, our salvation is intact, eternally has been set and fixed. We are not rejoicing. We do not fear the future. We now know the present, and we rejoice in that the past has been put to death. But the actual is a factual. Rejoicing occurs, all right. But the church, it says that they don't fear the future if they're living in sin. There's a future that had better be feared. Some of us think that we know the presence, but we're living in helter-skelter right now, not being able to put it together. Let me end up with this. I think that, and this will help us as we look at the earthquake situation. Peace with God. Now, that takes care of the past. He will no longer hold our sins against us. That's what the peace of God has brought us. He no longer holds this guilty sign in front of us to condemn us in the marketplace of ideas. Secondly, not only do we have peace with God, but access to God. In other words, that takes care of the present. We can come to Him and at any time for the help that we leave. Now you notice, I don't say come to the bishop, come to the preacher, nor come to the pastor. Come to God. That's all the man of God should be helping you with. All right, so we said the peace of God, the access of God, and the hope of the glory of God. Now this takes care of our future. One day, all of us are going to be in His glory. We can boast in that. An interesting Bible study, and an interesting Bible study as I attempt to end it up a little bit earlier than I did before, admonishing you to remember the people in Haiti. I've seen a lot of sad stories. And I've looked on the news wires and seen where folk are still killing people in other parts of the world. It never ends. Let it never be said that we are a part of such mayhem. Please, never let that be said. Well, thank you for chiding in with me as we spoke about that very important subject matter. The fruits of justification. And how we might obtain that particular security in Christ Jesus. It's a good thing to look at. I don't know about you, but I think it's an excellent thing to look at. But thanks so much for coming my way. This is Pastor John in the Lucy Coleman Studio on this rainy, rainy January afternoon. And what time is it? Clock stop here in the studio. It's 2:07 in the afternoon of the 19th of January, Tuesday. Sun is trying to come out from the soaked streets and byways of a rainstorm over Los Angeles. But I want to thank you for taking the time to come into the website. This is Pastor John. Try to join me tomorrow. You know the drill.